So what does it mean, decolonizing design? So decolonization is a word we have been hearing a lot in events those days. A lot of people are talking about it, which is great. And it's also quite often being used with the term diversity. And while those terms are linked, they shouldn't be confused. So diversity is about bringing more people to the table, and decolonizing is about changing the way we think and also removing oppressions. And to help to illustrate and exemplify that, I like a quote by the Zapatista that says, "A world where many words fit." So I think this exemplifies well.
Welcome to Latinx in Power, a podcast hosted by Thaisa Fernandes.
Hi, everyone. I know there's an extra episode happening this month. I'm really excited about it. This year, I decided to have some bonus episodes, and we are going to be talking about important subjects for us and our community. This time, we are talking about decolonizing design. I invited two friends. One of those you know, Janivita, one of our first guests in our podcast, and the second one is Gidioni Machava. He's so amazing, so I'm really excited to have this episode. I'm so excited to be here. I hope you all are doing all right and safe. So for today's conversation, we want to have an important discussion about decolonizing design from a Latinx and African perspective, which takes it a step further than our usually diversity shot. And without further ado, Gidioni and Jenny, do you want to present yourself?
All right. It's great to be here, first of all. It's a very interesting topic, and I think it's very relevant, right, for us to speak about decolonization and why we're speaking about that. I think it's amazing. Well, I have 20 years of story in design. I must say that it's a really good ride. I was learning, and I think that coming from my background is in visual design, and then did my master's in service innovation and design here in Helsinki. Yeah, I worked in a few agencies here, several places in Brazil. Yeah, have been all over the world, let's say. I'm glad to be here. Looking forward to talk with you about this topic.
So my name is Gideon Machava. I'm originally from Mozambique. So in Mozambique, I live in Maputo, which is a province, the capital. On the past 4 years, I live in South Africa. I think most of the audience are more familiar with South Africa than Mozambique. So Mozambique, like Brazil, was colonized by the Portuguese. So my first language is Portuguese. So what I do, I'm a product designer who turned product manager now, but I have background in economics. But beside of my regular work, what I do also is trying to create a design community in Africa. In that line, I've managed to organize a conference a few weeks ago with Jane, who was one of the speakers, with designers from all over the world to try to create or to give African designer a bit of more voice in the design world. So if I could summarize, that's basically it.
Amazing. A little bit about me. I was a designer in my previous life, but I have been working with product and program management for the past decade. And now I'm a program manager at Twitter. And to help to set the stage, so what does it mean, decolonizing design? So decolonization is a word we have been hearing a lot in events those days. A lot of people are talking about it, which is great. And it's also quite often being used with the term diversity. And while those terms are linked, they shouldn't be confused. So diversity is about bringing more people to the table, and decolonizing is about changing the way we think and also removing oppressions. And to help to illustrate and exemplify that, I like a quote by the Zapatista that says, "A world where many words fit." So I think this exemplifies well. And I'd love to hear from you, Jenny and Gidioni. What does decolonizing design mean for design and designers?
For me, decolonizing design starts from defining what is colonization per se, right? So I think coming from Africa, I still feel parts of colonization on the way we live today. So decolonizing design would be more related to giving people a chance to be themselves. My culture, being African, being from Africa, I know how it feels not having representation in the world. So I think it's easier for me to talk about decolonizing design. If someone asks what would that mean, I would just say, give me a chance to be myself, without bringing any buzzwords on the table. So example, like we've seen the movie, like Black Panther was one of the first movies that actually gave perspective what is the African culture to the big screen. A good part of the world was impressed by that because this perspective wasn't shown like on the big stage. And for us, decolonizing design is about that, giving us a space to show the way we are. It's not about removing anyone, like fitting in the code that you said. It's a world where other worlds can fit. Because when we like watch Thor and learn about the Scandinavian history, all the gods, I think like the movie itself, the Marvel Universe express the world that you're trying to bring, where you have like the Wakanda people, you have the Thor, Captain America, everyone living in the same world. So like on the designs field, it's more about giving us a space for us to be ourselves, not having to be, example, every time an African is represented in a movie, it feels like something special. It feels like they're bringing a guest. We want to be able to feel normal. I think for us, or for me in particular, decolonizing is about me being in a room and not being seen as, oh, see, Gideon from Africa, black guy is here. I want to be in a room and not being noticed because it's normal also.
I love that. And what does it mean for you, Jenny?
Yeah, that's interesting. I have tried to put myself as an immigrant of immigrants, and there's so many immigration in my roots, right? So if you think about like this mix we have in Brazil, so I'm a person that my grandparents are from Italy. From my mother's side, it was like we have like a native Indians, like First Nations, right? We have as well. We have Spanish, we have Polish. So if you start looking at this mix and what I know, you know, about the past, like it's hard because it came like from after war, right? So like the first war, so there was a big immigration in Brazil. And we are thinking it's not only like how people, they feel proud of, you know, being a, let's say, a fugitive or, you know, like from a war or like trying to hide their past. And then we have like a lot of immigration in Europe nowadays, right? So we know that. So I see this immigration that happened, something similar that happened in the past, but in Brazil, right? So in some aspects, you can see this diversity happening there, right? I would say Black people, Latins, they have this kind of, I say, stigma where people look at you and then, of course, have some kind of prejudice or put some assumptions on your education or your origins. And I don't think I have any problem with the origins itself, right? It's hard for me to be, I'm very curious to know my past, but I don't think it's even possible. But for designers, right? I think for designers, it's important for us to talk about decolonization because we are in this culture of like oppression. We need to understand also our privileges, right? Like how we can contribute. And also it's not like being the white savior, but, you know, giving the voice, empowering and making sure that people are counted, that you amplify your context, right? Like when you're designing, you're thinking in the systems, right? Like within the diversity it deserves, not oppression.
Yeah. And you both started to talk a little bit more about that. And I love to hear more. What is the importance of designers starting to review the way we think about design on a day-to-day basis and also in our work?
I think it's really important to understand, like there is a symbol which is famous from the Ghana culture, Ghana in Africa, like the Adrinka is the name of the culture per se. And the symbol is called Sankofa. So basically Sankofa says, and you have like a similar representation in the Greco-Roman history, if I'm not wrong. His name is Janus. He has two faces, one in the front and one in the back. So Sankofa is kind of Janus for the Greek-Roman history. That says, go to the future, but don't forget who you are, or move forward to the future, but don't forget your past. I think for designers, like it's really important if you want to have like a more self-conscious future where we all included, it's important to understand our history, as Jen was saying here. Talking of Africa, we felt that most of like Africa representation, like culture wise, was lost like during the colonization process. Because most of Africa who lives overseas nowadays, they don't know where in Africa they actually belong. I remember I was talking with a friend, she lives in Brazil now. She was saying, I wanted to do like, she's black, and I wanted to do like, to see the line of my ancestor lines, to see where in Africa I came from. I told her like, that's gonna be really complicated because in Africa, we have 32 countries who speak French, like 40 who speak English, 4 who speak Portuguese, And if you go to those four, they might not represent you the way you expect to. So like our history is completely lost. And if they do like the test to see the line of time and trying to go back or come back to Africa, they will feel like completely lost because they might be connected to people from Ghana, but they speak English. The person lives in Brazil. So there is kind of a broken link here. I think like for us, being able to study and understand like that part is it's really important. What we're trying to slowly trying to do, because what we do now kind of influentiate what the outcome of what we do, what we're going to be producing. And being like conscious of who you are literally can dictate what you do. Like we have a big example of AI nowadays. So we can see like how the bias is coming on AI. I can tell you like another example, like Google voice recognition system. I remember talking to friends who live in South Africa and they ask, why are your accent so American? I was like, it's the only way I can speak so Google can understand me. Otherwise, this system won't work for me because my English is like too Portuguese or too South African. So I have to become someone else so the system can understand me. So I kind of have to lose myself in the process. But I believe if we start studying ourselves, studying our story, understanding ourselves, we might design better products that actually understand that people from Africa, they speak English, but it's not your English. So the AI kind of have to have different. So yeah, on those lines.
And if you think about like the different competence of design, right, the application. So if you look at fashion product, or it has like this historical kind of colonization that happened, right? So what was considered good, what was considered bad. And I think that's something different in the digital design education, right? Because it's so new. I think there was a lot of this kind of communities of practice that people get involved. And then, of course, English in this sense, it's what kind of unify, like people, they speak English, so they're able to talk with each other. And then it has been this for many years, right? Like literature, like were all written in English, even though people were living in different places of the world. And then I think when we start education in Brazil, it was like 20 years ago, we were discussing about this Bauhaus, right? Like the Germany, and but this wasn't really applied to digital. It's a hard work, right? There was much more like restrictions on the what we have in AI today, right? It's so limited. You can't do much, you know, like, so we were very pixelated.
And what are the main factors that contribute to the perpetuation of colonization of design? Do you think it's this sense that it's only one way of doing things? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it comes from this simplification, right? Trying to kind of, let's say, responsive design, right? Trying to make, I think agile development kind of pushes a lot this kind of simplification, or even our systems, this like design systems, right? We try to create these components, they repeat. So we try to simplify and making a lot of like operations easier. I think this happened with industrial design as well. We try to kind of make things so easy to, you know, and we're not really looking for diversity in that sense, right? I think this is a point now that we do have space for diversity. And I think we're not so limited by this technology, right? We do have like more megabytes to use. I think people can be more patient and loading and wait for, I mean, we have been very restricted by the technology itself. If we say that, okay, this coming from Silicon Valley or let's say Scandinavia or whatever, we feel like that we have like Spotify's and Netflix and those like kind of giants. I do believe that it's a little bit more on the amplifying, right? Like the possibilities.
What do you think, Gideoni?
I think not giving people space. I can tell you again by my experience. Last year at the Generation 20 conference in Milan from IXDA was a really, really good experience for me. Like I've managed to meet a lot of people that I only was able to see them on YouTube. But was also sad, like I think there were like more than 500 people there, but I could count like on my hands the number of African people, and also could count the number of Black people. So I can tell you that the design field is very, very wide. So I know like it's not the organization's intention, but on the same time, we as the minority, we can't wait to someone else give us space. I think the problem is on both sides. We don't have representation because we don't have space. And also we're waiting for someone to give us space. right? So like, I think we can meet in the middle. So like we start to do something and also like we do have more open doors. I can tell you on my side what I'm trying to do on that part. Like the conference that I'm organizing has that as the central focus. Our tagline is the future of design is Africa and you can build it. So we're trying to build the bridge between the Western world and Africa, but still putting Africa in the center. So we have a lineup of like world-class people from all over the world, Singapore, China, Europe, America, Southern America, Latin America, and also African people. So those people that never had a chance to attend like this type of conference, they've managed to be there and see in the first person and be able to contribute something. So it's going to still take us time to be able to give us ourselves like a proper voice. But also I can see that there is more openness, more diversity, or trying to bring more people who actually represent different backgrounds to the tech scenario. So like not trying to advertise, but we have helpful like two big companies in our conference, which was like an African conference. I think it was the first time that those type of companies did support initiatives like those. And yeah, I think we have to meet the solution in the middle and not like we, as the people who are excluded, have to do our part, but also we need more open doors because we know like the only way disruption can happen is from the inside also, not from the outside.
And I like the example that you shared about Google Home not being able to understand you. So you needed to change your accent in order to be understood. And I definitely see myself doing this, which is really interesting. But yeah, we know like the lack of representation make things like that happens. And what is actually really funny is sometimes I'm listening to Brazilian music or like French music. I see myself speaking Portuguese or in French, kind of like a little bit in the English accent in order to be understood. So I'm faking my own like native accent in Portuguese, so Google Home can understand me. And it's really frustrating. It's ridiculous, to be sincere, in my opinion. And how do you think we can consider people from different cultures may identify with the things we are creating? How we can allow people with different backgrounds identify with the designs we are creating? You started to talk a little bit more about that, about like bringing more people to the table. What more do you think we should be doing?
I've been giving access, right? So it's incredible, but a lot of people don't have access to digital. Giving space, right? There's like so much investment that you can give, you know, for like startups that are more like a diverse, right? I like what Dion was saying, that we, with our eyes open for those and then really, you know, getting better networked and be really close to people. And then, of course, in our hands. And then, you know, as we have now discussing this with yourselves, of course, discuss about others. I think the colonization itself has some people, they are very scared about the word. I have seen like when I posted, I generate some conversation, but that was a very hard word to say. Like, I think people, they are detached from this past, right? So the people that we have today, they don't see themselves as the people that colonized. So it's a very tricky thing to put yourself in this kind of colon. Maybe it's more like that it's a justice, you know, that we need to do in the way we live today, right? So it's a justice we are doing here. So we are looking at the past, learning from what we have done wrong. And then, of course, you know, like doing the justice we need to do and making sure we don't repeat this kind of oppression anymore. But it needs to be very clear, right? We're not like trying to tell anyone that they are decolonized or like that, you know, we have like oppression in all over the place. I think it's a power, right? Power is a form of oppression. You have this in companies, you have this in place where sometimes you want to do some kind of, let's say, co-creation. And some people, they have a harder voice, that can raise the voice and oppress others. So I think we, as a humanity, we need to learn, you know, and coexist and learn these differences and be better on that. So I think that's like, it's a person and it's a movement as well, right?
Definitely. So highlighting what Jane just said, I can tell you that people do are afraid of that term, like colonization. So I attended design school. I have two backgrounds. I'm an economist, but also I'm a designer. So when I was doing my design specialization in South Africa, like 2 years ago, I remember one of the topics or the subject of the day on my class was decolonizing design. And the funny thing, probably most of you guys don't expect, is I was the only Black student in my class. Actually, not the Black. We were two in a class of around 20 people and two Black guys in Africa. Can you believe that? So yeah, design is super wide, even in Africa, because it's a very expensive field. But that is not the part that I want to talk about yet. Like, what happened to me on that class was when we talk about, when everyone knew that the subject was decolonizing design, everyone started looking at us like, oh, colonization. What a sensible topic. We have two black people here. So it was a really weird feeling. And like my lecturers, they're very, very open people. They don't have this racism thing. And they have to explain to people that decolonization, as Jenny said, is not about devaluing someone else, right? It's about bringing someone else to the light or to the spotlight. It's trying to see how they live and trying to value that, like in the way that people see their own culture. It's like, because someone else is something doesn't mean you have to be, you can't be. I think it's kind of related to this Black Lives Matter, and then people come say all lives matter. We're not saying that your life doesn't matter. We're trying to say like Black Lives Matter because we've been oppressed for so long that we kind of feel that we don't exist. So we're trying to come to life. Like, that's why we're saying Black Lives Matter. So yeah.
And I think it also, people might feel uncomfortable with this subject also because it's not easy thinking about changing process, eliminating like oppression. And a lot of time we don't have answers. We need to figure out the answers. And it's something that would take a lot of time, a lot of time. And it's not like what you're doing is wrong. No, we want to do things differently because maybe our references came from the same place for the same people and they look white and they are like from the same places. So we just want more examples, different examples that are not the same. And but I understand the frustration because it's not an easy conversation. It's not something that you're like solving with like a simple redesign, right? You're like changing process, just changing systems.
And we got used to many things, right? So I think the convenience we created, it's a barrier as well to this kind of roots, right? If you're detached from this past, you know, and you're already in this kind of convenient kind of way, it's even harder to understand, you know, when you're talking about the human as a, it's a body and soul. And then when you talk about the indigenous, it's so different, like connections they have, right? What we learn. So I don't think we even understand this amplitude of the human being, right? So I think that's so lost, you know, and then we have so much to learn. Even like when we talk about business, right? We talk about the economical things. Why we don't talk about like health? Why we don't measure health? Why we don't measure connections as like making social life better? Why we don't do this, right? I think we lost many of these kind of meanings in our cultures.
Yeah. And to me, as a non-designer, it was interesting to think about this notion that design is universal and how we can challenge that. And I like this exercise of like questioning who dictates what is universal and also what is considered good or bad and why and who created all those standards. So I love to hear your thoughts about it. Do you think design can be universal?
Like, I remember being challenged about the same things, about design being universal. I think the person who says design is universal have the same way of think on the same line of the person who say that the health is the center of the universe. Just because I can't prove the other way of thinking doesn't mean you're right. Because have to someone very brave have to come and say, you know what, actually I've studied and I can tell you that health is not the center of the universe. And I can prove. The first man who said that, they killed him because it was challenging almost everything. I think it's the same when you say like design is universal. The thing is, we can't prove that it's not yet, or there is no one qualified who can literally challenge the status quo and can say, you know what, the human principles, the human-centered design might be universal, but there is a part that can't work everywhere. And I believe that the only way that we can literally challenge that is start giving voice from people who are not coming from the poles where design is the center now. Example, like I do believe like the features of design is African for multiple reasons. First of all, for the number of young people that Africa are going to have on the next years. Secondly, because we're kind of like moving from like industrial age to the intellectual age. So it means that being rich in capital terms, it's going to kind of start losing power because we move into softwares it's no more atoms. And because we're moving to intellectual capacity, we might start having more people on top knowledge coming from multiple poles. I think the digital age is going to give us, and I believe that the digital age is going to literally challenge that code, like that design is universal, because you're going to have like more people who are really, really smart coming. Sorry, talking about Africa, but I'm really advocate of my continent. Talking about Africa doesn't mean I'm not considering Asia or Latin America, but I'm talking about the reality that I know and things that I want to change. But I do believe that giving attention and the right resources, we literally can be in the forefront of the design future. Like, you know that Uber, the ride-sharing company, copied Lyft, like on the most famous practices. And I've learned that the founder of Lyft actually learned about the ride-sharing practice in Zimbabwe. So when he was traveling to Africa, he went back to America, created Zinshare, was the name of the company at that time, and then he kind of managed to change the name and Lyft. And Lyft was copied by Uber. And you know, have a multi-billion dollar company who people think the original idea came from America, but actually it's a practice that started in Africa. So I know like India also do this rate sharing practice, actually more like a lot of countries, but this case in particular came from Africa. So imagine if more people came to Africa, how the world would look like today. So like when I say more people with capital and the power to actually do something tangible, because we know like having idea is not enough, right? We have to be able to have the resources to actually implement what we think. Yeah, so this is an example where kind of not decentralizing design per se, but putting like the Western world outside of the center of the universe and trying to explore other corners of the earth might kind of change our perception of design.
I think if you're talking about universal as the structure, right? Let's say the not the aesthetic, right? Just the things that we try to kind of standardize to make life easier or have some kind of logic or kind of build some kind of logic. I understand that if we say, okay, universal is a bad word, right? Like unfortunate like word they choose for this kind of standards, right? Design standards. Just like easy way for you to kind of look how to start like buttons. You're talking about, I don't think that the conversation should be there, right? I think the conversation should be in the content that we are creating, the kind of message we are putting, the kind of aesthetics, you know. I think how we display the who is reading, right? Like, so we make it accessible. So I think that's so much into, so I'm not against anyone trying to kind of make lives easier. But I'm sad that we went to this path because we want to speed up stuff. We have sprints. We have a lot of things that as a designers, we confront on day to day. So it's easier you to kind of have like components ready-made, you know, based on some kind of visual identity and just kind of put it up, right? There's so much more to focus on, right? That's why I'm like, maybe this kind of universal things, maybe like it was just kind of fortunate name that the people gave to it, you know? But I think the intent wasn't so bad. Maybe it's out of date.
Yeah, starting like with the word like universal, like let's challenge that, right? And this reminds me of something that someone said to me not a long time ago, saying that diversity is bringing people to the party and inclusion, it's that person being invited to dance, and belonging, it's further ahead in the process, which is that person who was invited to the party, who was invited to dance, feel free to dance like no one is watching. So it's really hard. It's not easy, but this is what we need, you know?
And like, I can tell you, like being afraid to dance is what most of us African are like right now. So you will see like there is a lot of talented people who don't feel capable to dance, and you're never going to hear about them because of that.
Yeah, we are almost at our time. So I wanted to finalize some actions to take. And I read in a blog post called Politics of Design that I highly encourage you to take a look. They were like sharing some steps, so I'd like to read for you. And also, I would love to hear your thoughts, Gideoni and Jani, about that. So the first one that they said was acknowledge your privilege. And the second is never speak in the name of others. So if you feel you're not capable of talking about that thing or doing that thing, that design, invite someone who is more capable of doing that. Use common sense and speak up. The fourth is educate your client and let the client educate you. And the fifth is don't do everything yourself. So bring more people to the table. And the last one is you will always make mistakes.
That's very right. Yeah. So I think designers, they're constantly shaping knowledge, right? So our knowledge, and this is like the change because of technology or because of social change. So I say that like we are culture navigators. And then people ask me like if we should get educated as designer, right? I think we should really, really get informed. That's for sure. We are constantly learning. It's not about like a graduation, of course, but it helps, right? You make your networks and so on. But you for sure get informed all the time. I'm now learning so enormously, you know, and I can't even say that I learned enough, you know, about this topic we're talking today.
Okay, like if I could add something, I would say if you can identify a problem in a way that makes sense, it's your responsibility to solve it.
Yeah, responsibility is a big thing. Yes, taking responsibilities and duty of care, yeah. Right? We do something with duty of care.
I love that. Yeah, we have 3 minutes left. So I want to have these minutes if Gianni and Gidioni want to share more. I think it would be cool, Gidioni, if you want to share more about your podcast and your book.
So like my podcast, what I'm trying to do with my podcast is called World Class Designer. It's to try to solve the problem that I've said, like trying to invite more African people to dance, trying to demystify what is actually needed to become a world class designer. Because I take this as part of my life, as the same way I was saying, if I see a problem, I see it as my responsibility to solve. And it's what I'm trying to do with my podcast, the book that I wrote with the conference and with the school that I'm going to be like launching soon with my colleagues and friends. So what I want to be able to do is like bring more Gideonis to the spotlight. So I want to be able to like awake generations of designers that don't do pixels alone, that do something else, that do more, that can kind of drive the change that you want to see in the world, not designers that just follow the rules. And I believe that we will be able to do that if we manage to find like the best designers in Africa and show them the way. And that is what I'm doing with the podcast. That is what I'm planning to do with the school, trying to find the smarter designers in the content and actually show them that they can dance.
Amazing. And I also linked Gianni's service Sandbox. Do you want to talk about it, Gianni?
I think this is a great way of thinking systematically, like with the complexity that design deserves. So you have like layers and cards where you think about different things you have to consider while designing. There's a lot of like wild cards, like things that goes beyond, but enough, in like a lot of like clues for you for consideration. So things like an entire like layer of like ethic. This is something I'm like amplifying now, but you know, like in terms of technology that keys, kind of interactions, types of interactions. So there's so much there. If you want to have a look and talk with me later, it's free. You can download and use by yourself. But if you want to give me some feedback, and I'll be glad to hear.
Awesome. Yeah, that was great. Thank you, everyone. That's it for today, everyone. I hope you enjoyed it. We want to bring more conversations like that to our podcast, and we'll have more bonus episodes. So I'm really excited about it, and see you soon.